On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, it is an all-star extravaganza. We talk about the swing-off that concluded this all-star game. Kyle Schwarber, the MVP. We talk about the game itself, which feels like a blur, a mirage, a blink in my mind's eye. And of course, we talk about the Derby, an exhilarating victory for Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, Mariners backstop, elevating his star here in Atlanta. All of that and nothing else. No more. Those are the topics on this episode of Baseball Barbacast. Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world that thinks the American League should be really proud of itself for a well-fought draw on the road. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And 1 point goes to each team.
Aaron Boone's got to be feeling real good about that managerial performance. They battled. They really did. They battled back into it.
They did.
Shout out Stephen Kwan for giving us history indirectly. Jake Mintz, it is so good to be here with you on this Tuesday evening, now into Wednesday morning at Truist Park in Atlanta. We have one heck of a show for you folks. We're just sitting here in these wonderful chairs in left field at Truist Park, and we don't have our computers, you know, we don't have any notes, but we are going to talk about what we saw over the last 28 hours. And we are going to start with home runs, and we are going to end with home runs.
Yes.
And in the middle, we'll talk about the baseball game that was played tonight that we probably won't remember that much of.
Let's begin with our opener. Which is undeniably, obviously, no question at all, the home run derby swing-off that we had at the All-Star game. Okay, so I believe this was implemented with the new CBA starting in 2022, that if a All-Star game was tied at the end of regulation, not a baseball term, the end of regulation, then it would move to a swing-off. The rules for the swing-off are each team, league, selects three players. Each of those players gets three swings. Most home runs wins. If you make an out, that counts. If you hit a homer, that counts. Three swings total.
Which
and that
means,
is exactly what we got tonight. Now,
yeah.
It is a little bit of context here. There's the institutional PTSD of 2002, the All-Star game in Milwaukee, which ended in a tie. I believe it went 11 innings. They ran out of pitching. There's the famous video shot of Bud Selig, then commissioner, in the stands, like scrambling to figure out what the heck they were going to do. That led to the this time it counts with the home field advantage for the All-Star game. They then took that away. They've implemented this. You look like you got something to say.
I mean, I was going to get to this later. This is obviously relevant context, so let's just do this now. It is unbelievable in retrospect that that was the solution that they landed on, let alone continue for years and years and years.
Which was, I don't know.
Which is, well, not just which is to panic and make the game count for a long time. Like, I still... Obviously, we were not old enough to be covering baseball at that point. We didn't really have, like, I just cannot, I still do not understand how we landed on that. And now that feeling is even more amplified because this is fantastic. This is so simple.
Clap it up.
This is, now I will say, there are some flaws in the format that could potentially be exposed someday that would make it worse. But I honestly don't really care too much about that right
100%.
now. 100%. So let's just talk about what we saw and why it was set up the way that it was in terms of who was doing it.
Sure.
That's
so
important too.
The ball game that we're going to talk about in the next segment ends 6-6.
Yes. Because the NL just absolutely bungles it. It was 6-0.
It was 6-0. We're going to get to that. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get behind of yourself. Three hitters for each team. The NL announced before the game. These are determined before the game by the manager in communication with the players on the roster. Would the American League like to have Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh? Yes. They were in the game. They were out of the game in like the fourth inning.
Cal Raleigh hit more than enough homers.
Yeah, you don't need more from him.
Come on. He caught five more innings. He's fine. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So the three for each team. National League, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, and Gino Suarez. Okay. The American League, Jonathan Aranda, Randy Arozarena, and Brent Rooker, who was in the Derby last night. Gino got doinked on the hand by White Sox superstar Shane Smith. Injury replacement, another Kyle S. Kyle Stowers joins the fray. The game ends, and like the second it ends, the grounds crew is just racing nets on the field to get it turned over. I'd say about a 10-minute delay between the end of the game, the start of the derby to get everything ironed out. Each team had a thrower. I believe it was Travis Chapman for the American League, Yankees infield coach, and Dino Ebel for the National League, their third base coach. Thank you. Brent Rooker goes first.
Yeah. So, first of all, the other funny thing was before they introduced it, they have Roberts and Boone come out and announce it to the crowd, right? Because we had heard before that it was going to be Gino. And he goes, Kyle Stowers just found out he's doing this. So that's an important context, right? Like that was maybe when Suarez got hit, they like said, tell Stowers, like they started to scramble, but it seemed pretty, that's important context for the fact that Stowers, he goes first for the NL, but let's start with Rooker.
So then there's booing here because it's not Matt Olson.
Right. And Matt Olson presumably is still here, right?
Now He finished the game.
He was not a starter. He came in after Pete. Yep. And so he was here. Acuña, I could be wrong. I assume he's not here anymore. He could, whatever.
Acuña's not going to do the derby after he opts.
Let's also establish this, right? It is normal for starters to leave during the game. That happens.
Standard.
All the time.
I would say more do than don't. Way more do than don't.
Obviously, others who are going to be subs or who just like want to hang out, then they stay. And especially if you've agreed to be in there. Okay, so Brent Rooker starts.
Brent Rooker, two.
Two homers. Brent Rooker was just doing a derby the day before, was comfortable. He, in theory, would be in the best position to do this, so good pick.
Kyle Stowers in the worst position to do this.
Worst position to do this.
Hits one. Which is good. One?
Dude. Absolutely.
We're happy with
you
one.
You just don't want an offer.
That's holding serve.
You don't want an offer.
Randy Arozarena won. Okay?
Yes.
So we're 3-2 American League, and that's when Kyle Schwarber, the Schwarb bomb, steps up to the plate. And what did I say to you right before he started hitting, Jordan?
You said he's going to go 3-for-3.
And that's exactly what he did. Pretty effortlessly, laser beam to center, moonshot to right center, and then one right down the right field line. He drops to a knee, watches it fair. AL goes ahead.
National League goes ahead. It was 3-1, right? You said 3-1. You said 3-2. It was 3-1 American League before Schwarber.
Schwarber
so he
goes
takes
up.
The lead. Now
4-3.
Now it's 4-3.
And that flips to Jonathan Aranda, who is one of the more anonymous members of the All-Star team.
But well-deserving.
Well-deserving.
This is not,
great year,
this is
Jonathan
not
Aranda.
Like we got to put him in because he's the only player on that team. Like he earned
great
it
year.
A spot here.
And we're like, oh, my God. He needs to hit one.
Please.
On deck is Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso, who for the first time in his major league career, did not do the actual home run derby. Again, let me say that. Pete Alonso has been around for a long time. Like, he hit free agency before he didn't do a home run derby.
Right. Does it in 19, 21, 22, 23, 24.
He is waiting on deck as the final swinger.
Apparently in the cage.
In the cage.
Getting ready.
If Aranda hits one, it ties, sends to Pete. Pete sends us home. Like, dream ending.
For sure.
And Aranda.
All we need is one Aranda. The first one pops it. In the first swing, he didn't look like he was in a home run derby. It looked like he was taking regular batting practice.
And he's like, oh.
And so he hits
he's
kind
like,
of a normal.
Oh, right. It's midnight and I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, right. The whole point is that I really need to hit a home run. First one, like a liner to right center, not far. Second one, a screamer to right. He pulls it more, and it's looking good. But that wall in right field here at Truist Park is pretty high. And, I mean, I have to go back and watch it. He missed it by 2 feet max.
Yeah.
And what a moment that was. I mean, it wasn't his last swing, but what a moment that was.
No part of me thought that the most enduring memory from this All-Star game would be a Jonathan Aranda double off the wall. That counted as an out.
Yeah. And then his last swing, he takes a few more pitches because, again, like the pressure there, it's so impressive that, especially not Rooker, who just did it last night, whatever, 40 times, for Stowers to even do that on command. You might say, oh, they're big leaguers. Come on, they hit home runs in batting practice all the time. For Schwarber to go 3-for-3. Anyway, Aranda, lazy fly ball. Game over.
Game over.
6-6. NL wins. NL goes nuts. They mob Schwarber. Pete comes out of the tunnel. He's like, I don't have to hit. And the National League, I guess, doesn't walk it off, right? That's what we were kind of hoping for with Pete. But it was incredible. It was incredible. And, it was disappointing because the fact that it was like, oh, but it could have been this. It's like, dude, that was great. That was weird. That was unexpected. Especially when it's 6-0. I mean, it's not like we were to think about that rule. You know, if there were a close game throughout, we would have started talking about it. But the fact that it like snuck up on us, and by the way, if you dipped early, which was a lot of people.
Players and fans,
where this is not just judging, like, I don't know, it felt pretty empty by the end of this game.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Whatever, it was 6-0. I guess some people just wanted to get home.
It's late. It's an 8 o'clock start.
You missed it. And I think that was what was so cool about this, because like there were, and by the way, this was true in the press box also, but there were a lot of people that absolutely, you could tell when they announced it over here, we're going to have a home run derby swing off. We were sitting out here in the Oxbox. You look around the crowd, like people are looking around like, oh my God, that's awesome. Cool. Whatever. And I'm sure if you're watching on TV, although maybe people just turned it off. Like, I really am curious how it was presented. I would assume on the broadcast they started talking about it.
Yes.
Once the game was tied. That's the thing. Like, I will also say another reason why this is so fun is we're very honest about this. This is our 9th All-Star game together. The Derby is what we look forward to. And the All-Star game is usually an epilogue. We don't remember anything from it. We tell people, like, if you're going to go, like, pay to go to the Derby, don't go to the All-Star game. And honestly, like, the All-Star game is I do think, probably is better on TV than it is here in terms of what you're bang for your buck. You're getting the mic'd up moments. You're getting all this other stuff. But this was awesome to
be
here for.
Dude, it was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. It was so unique. I liked that it was surprising to so many people who were like, wait a second, this is happening? It felt of a different era in a weird way. Like, for whatever reason in my head, I'm thinking about the time that the big league players did a dunk contest. Do you remember, like, when, like, Barry Bonds was dunking?
Oh.
Like, it just
feels... I don't even remember what the context was for
so
that.
It so surreal.
Yeah,
and it was like ragtag. It felt like grassroots-y. It was
authentic. Felt spontaneous. And again, the format was good. It was like it worked. Again, there could be some flaws on the line, but this is the other thing. We have no idea when we're going to see this again. I don't think it's worth the league jumping in and trying to manufacture this and just say, like, you know what? Screw it. Let's end the All-Star game after 6 innings of time and just do the home run derby again. Like, let's just appreciate what we saw.
Good job.
And maybe you tweak it a little bit just in case based on how it worked. But I thought this was great. I thought, let's appreciate it for what it is. Let's not say, shame on the players for not sticking around. We didn't get judged. It's like, you want to have that conversation about the real derby? Fine. I thought this was pure. It was fun. It was as good as it gets.
Multiple things are true. Would we like to have Aaron Judge in there instead of Jonathan Aranda?
Sure.
Absolutely. That does not take away from the wonderful thing that we witnessed.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't want to leave here feeling like I was robbed.
No,
making Judge, asking Judge or Otani to stick around for 7 innings so that just in case they can be in the Derby, that they wouldn't have agreed to do. Let's be clear about that. Like, Otani and Judge, who both said no to the Derby yesterday.
And will
probably...
Weeks ago, yesterday. Yeah, right. Yes, yes.
You see what I'm saying? Like, they were never going to do this. And so to pretend like, oh, man, if only they had stayed.
Yeah.
It's not how it works.
All that said, back to the original point about 2002. It's just, what a nuclear option to make the All-Star game count. Like, they couldn't have... Like, again, I was 7, so I can't speak to, like, what literally happened in those moments after they tied. But it is so funny that... no one thought, like, oh, let's do a derby. And whoever was still around, like, we're like, oh, yeah, let's give it a shot. And, like, they cobbled it together and made it happen. I know that would have been ragtag and whatever.
Bud Selig was like, everybody, go on.
World Series is going to now to be determined. It's like, what?
Why? anyway, one last huzzah for Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was awesome. MVP.
MVP.
MVP. But huzzah for for Kyle Stowers, for Brent Rooker, for Randy Rosarena, for Jonathan Aranda, for giving us that moment. Like, no, truly, like, of course we would have loved to see Pete. But everyone showed up. Because I will also say, as they readied for this, and as Brent Rooker fouled the first ball back, there was a moment where I was like, this could be a total flop. Like, this could be, we could end up with one homer winning it, and this could suck.
It delivered.
And it delivered. So let's appreciate everyone it was. Who knows when we'll see it again? And that was really something. So
I just, last point. There's no other thing in sports that happens once every X years. Right? Like, the Olympics is not an annual thing, and the World Cup's not an annual thing. But the idea of the, like, a mystery,
yeah,
the All-Star Game's happening. You might see a home run derby once every 10 years.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. What a surprise. Yeah. We enjoyed the absolute hell out of it.
So let us know, especially if you watch on TV. Like, I'd love to know how that's delivered. I'll go back and watch it. But it was really cool here. And I'm grateful that we got to see it. All right. Let's take a break. When we return on Baseball Barbercast, we will talk about the baseball game that was played before the derby. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbercast. Before the swing off, there was a game.
There sure was.
There was a game.
And honestly, like, one of the more entertaining All-Star games we've had. It wasn't for the first five innings, which I guess we weren't even really watching because we were downstairs waiting for Paul Skeens. But there was some interesting stuff that happened.
Absolutely. The All-Star game is always a series of vignettes rather than a movie, right? It's like, I view it like a book of poems more than I do a novel.
Yes.
Because that's what stands out in the end.
Right. It's not a coherent story.
No, it's like, oh, that guy faced that guy.
It's the opposite of a coherent story.
It is an incoherent, rambling tale, but an entertaining one. Let's do intros first.
Sure.
Jermaine Dupri and Ludacris, thank you for coming.
Yeah, having the players kind of just stand there
on the church risers
to them when we got like the really hype dancers was a little strange. Like, it looked cool as like a picture, but like in motion it was a little odd.
A lot of swaying, like video
but,
game characters,
very, right? Because like most of them, whether they love Ludacris or not, like it was kind of a strange assignment for the players. Like,
most
I don't blame them.
Player.
A lot of candidates. I mean, I don't know.
What percentage of the players on stage had heard
that song?
Welcome to Atlanta before that moment?
50%.
How many have them downloaded, like have it downloaded on their phone, like Apple Music, Spotify, whatever? Like seven?
Single to less than that, probably. I don't know. So anyway, but it was cool. And, you know, intros are always a little bit different in every city. But in terms of the booing, you know, yeah, right. You know, it's funny to have the Mets and Phillies guys get booed. No one cares about
the
Nats and Marlins. It's like, who are they? They're in our division too.
Booing
it's
David Peterson.
Yeah, actually, guys, the Marlins are ahead of you in the standings.
Booing David Peterson and not booing James Wood.
Right. Great.
Great
we
stuff.
Love that. Anyway, hey, heck, boo the Braves, man. They're the reason. Boo Brian Snitker.
Boo Ozzy Albies.
Right. Right. Anyway, so intros or whatever. Okay, so we got Scooble and Skeens.
Skeens, let's do Skeens quickly. Punches out Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
Hilarious, he started. He was the first hitter.
Hey, dude, Boone misses having him as the leadoff guy.
Aaron Judge should lead off the All-Star game every year. Gleyber goes down. Riley Green goes down. Skeens, I believe, is ahead of
Judge
and gets Judge to ground out. You see Skeens kind of frustrated that he doesn't get Judge to strike out.
Doesn't strike out the side.
On his way off the field, he shows his hands to the umpire out of habit to check for sticky stuff.
And Dan Isonia's like, don't worry about it, man. You're good, dude.
This time it doesn't count.
Yeah, use all the sticky stuff you want.
Bottom of the first, Scooble gets kind of knocked around a little bit. He's mic'd up on the mound.
Yeah. Yeah, and
worst
Cal
first
Raleigh.
Of the
Both
year.
Of them. Apparently, Cal Raleigh was also mic'd up.
Dropped the F bomb piece.
We got, yes, Ketel Marte hits a sharp double down the right field line. That puts it up 2-0. And the NL is kind of cruising there for those next few innings. Really, not a lot's happening.
Kershaw.
Kershaw has a solid inning.
Well,
a solid two batters, sorry. Raleigh ambushes him first pitch. Well,
I just want to talk about the Kershaw moment a little bit and give it some shine. He's mic'd up. Mm-hmm. The idea of Clayton Kershaw agreeing to be mic'd up for an All-Star game be this playful type of character on the broadcast is something that I would not have envisioned a number of years ago. And I want to give Clayton a little bit of credit.
He said
for
the same thing. He said, I don't think I ever would have done this, but let's do it.
And the back and forth between him and the booth during that was very cool, where he's like, I'm going to throw this pitch as hard as I can. Large grunt, 89, Cal Raleigh, too early on it, lines it to left, one out. Then Kershaw goes, I got one more batter, folks. Asks John Smoltz what he should throw. Smoltz says, cutter inside. Kershaw's like, I don't have one of those, John. You know that. Walks off the field. Big applause. That was
strikes out Vlad Jr. looking. Cool. Good for Clayton Kershaw. Jason Adden comes in, strikes out Ryan O'Hearn, and then we just kind of settle into just nothing happening. We're just pitchers are coming in. Brian Wu, Joe Ryan come in. They look great. David Peterson, scoreless inning. Then we start getting the replacements. Mackenzie Gore, scoreless inning. We get who's pitching here? We get who knows? Drew Rasmussen, scoreless inning.
Stop.
Well, but this is important because we're getting to the other big part, which is Jacob Mizorowski is looming. Okay, and it's like, well, he's supposed to pitch, right? What's going on?
We get a big Pete Alonso home run.
Pete Alonso, that puts him up big. That puts him up NL 5-0. Then Corbin Carroll goes yard. Now it's 6-0. But then Brent Rooker homers. Brent Rooker also had 3 home runs tonight. I realized that.
Did not win
MVP. Brent Rooker, tough week for him. We'll get to more of that later. Anyway, so here comes AL's coming back. And Miz is still not in the game. And we're looking down at the bullpen, and we're like, well, we're running out of outs to get. Randy Rodriguez and Morahone, and we're like, don't worry. we're gonna get some traffic on the bases and make sure Jacob Mizorowski gets in this game.
The NL has a rough inning in the 7th. Just, like, weird.
Weird.
3 pitchers in an inning in an All-Star game. Like, let's get a move on.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, box, please.
Yeah.
And then it enters the 9th inning, 6-4. That inning is started by Robert Suarez.
Well, oh, yeah, Miz, right, nothing. He threw hard.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst part.
He threw hard and nothing really happened.
He didn't strike anyone out.
He didn't strike anybody out. Randy, like, almost got him. Really deep fly out on a 100-mile-an-hour heater down the middle. But, you know, it's whatever.
It was fun watching, like, Miz down in the bullpen.
Just wait.
Alone with, at one point, it was him, Robert Suarez, and Eddie D. Jacob.
Yeah. So again, like whatever. We don't have to talk about Miz that much. But anyway, so then Robert Suarez comes in to close it out.
Or does he?
Can't get it done. We get traffic. Eddie D has to come in, and I don't even remember the sequence of events, but basically Stephen Kwan ties the game with an infield single, and now it's 6-6. Go to extras. And
extras?
Yeah. We don't go to extras. We go to the bottom of the ninth. And they don't score, and now we get the Derby swing off.
So, other things I'll remember. I will remember...
I have one other massive thing, but go ahead.
Things I'll remember. I'll remember the last out of the bottom of the ninth. I don't remember who was hitting but for the National League, but whoever it was could not have hit the ball less far.
Brendan Donovan. It was like a swinging bunt.
Do you have the projected distance on that?
1 foot. 8.9 mile per hour exit velocity. I don't think I've ever seen single digit exit velocity. I've seen 1 foot. That happens often if they hit, because even if you hit it hard, you can send it just straight to the ground.
1 foot. But it's like on the plate, and it's like rolling around, and it like touches the plate. Hunter Goodman, I guess. Or no, it wasn't Hunter Goodman. It was the AL catcher who would have been Alejandro Kirk. He picks it up. Tags Donovan.
Iasonia goes. He's like, points.
Points
like,
to it.
Fair
he's
ball.
Out. Inning
Game
over.
Game
swing
over.
Off.
Swing off. And then we go to the swing off. I have nothing else to say about the All-Star game except for one thing, which was not part of the game, and that was the Hank Aaron tribute. Damn. That was sweet. And as it was happening, I was like, I hope this looks as sick as it, on TV as it does in person. And it absolutely did.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, which is great. Which, like, duh, that's the whole point. And Fox is not, and Truist Park is not going to put that on just for the people here. But, yeah, as far as just, like, you know, special effects and an incredible show of one of the most important moments in baseball history. Like, that was incredible. That was, yeah. So just want to make sure we mention that, because I know before the swing off, like, that was something that will endure. I think people will remember that for a long time.
Dave Roberts.
It would have been... I love both managers. There's something funny about, like, there being manager discourse in the All-Star game for both sides.
Well, it's the funnier.
NL bungling it. Everyone's mad at Aaron Boone for picking Jonathan Aranda.
Hold up. Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone managing the All-Star game is going to lead to manager discourse if they had not done anything. That's just the world we live in.
That's true.
Dave Roberts putting the Padres in to suck. It's not like the Padres sucked because Dave Roberts put them in, everybody. The Galaxy brain take that I like to be mad at Aaron Boone. Okay, ready?
Oh, yeah.
Gino Suarez got hit on the hand by Shane Smith. Gino Suarez is a very hot trade candidate. Gino Suarez plays third base. The Yankees need a third baseman. He's at the top of that trade list. I would say the odds of the Yankees trading for Gino are what? 6%?
Yeah,
19%? Okay. Aaron Boone,
great fit.
The AL manager. Putting in Shane Smith, his worst pitcher.
It is his worst pitcher.
To face the guy who he's going to trade for in a couple weeks. Wait, that's unacceptable. That's malpractice, right? You can't.
You got to bring in Brian Wu.
Right down the zone.
Like, we need someone that is not throwing like, to any, you know.
I don't know, man. I understand, like, Boone gets a lot of crap. But to me, that was too...
Now we're over. Which is, this is crazy because Jake is about as pro Boone as you're going to get from someone in the New York media.
I just don't understand how he didn't see that happen. You know what I mean? Like,
it's bad. It's a bad moment.
Aaron Boone. Sorry.
I will say,
Aaron Boone, you should be ashamed of yourself.
And yeah, otherwise, it's like people were looking forward to Freddie Freeman. It was whatever. It was great.
He almost
grounded
cried.
Out. He got pretty close. It wasn't like fully blubbering, but he got pretty close. But the game wasn't anything notable. Skeen, Skubal, Mizorowski, like, I like how much we got out of this that we did not expect. That was very, very, very fun.
Good All-Star game.
Yeah, good All-Star game. And I honestly would have even said that without the Derby if it did end in a tie and for a stupid reason. Like, a lot happened. Pete winning an MVP in the tie would have been fun.
Or
that would have been cool.
Stephen Kwan just gets out to end the game.
Right.
And by the way, guards ball. Infield doinker, tie in the game.
Put the ball in play. Good things happen. Swing offs happen.
Steven Vogt's in the dugout. Like, let's
we
go!
Love that. Hey, I'll say this. In Cleveland, I would love to have those games go to swing offs.
The Guardians would not win a lot of them.
That's true, but
Jose Ramirez takes all nine swings.
But Class A and extras is also not exactly the best formula. Anyway, Stephen Kwan, I will thank you personally the next time I see you. I know it didn't lead to an American League victory, but
America.
NL, by the way, NL have now won two out of the last three after losing a billion in a row.
Getting hot.
So we love that for them.
Can they keep the momentum going next week?
The diehard NL fans got to be feeling good. All right, that's the All-Star game.
Yep.
We're going to take a break, and when we return, we are going to talk about Big Dumper. Oh, my God. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the end of Baseball Barbacast. Get the All-Star game. Who even cares? It's all about the Home Run Derby.
It is.
You said this before. We tell people, oh, you're going to be in city for the All-Star festivities? If you have to pick, because they're expensive tickets, do the Derby over the game. The Derby in person in the current format is awesome. I am very sympathetic to people who are watching on TV that say it's worse now than it used to be. I feel like I'm in my golden throne, unable to make a take on that. I need to watch it back to really provide.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I mean, the most basic thing is that we're very fortunate to get to cover these and especially to be at, as I said, you know, ninth straight Derby.
Now, the Derby for me is one of my favorite nights of the year.
Yes.
It exists because it is fun. Mm-hmm. It is a laid back event. There are really no losers in
the
Derby.
Which, again, why it's a very basic good idea to add a swing off instead of making it impact the World Series. What were we thinking? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
It is also a night to make stars.
Yeah.
It is a night to take players that do not exist in the national sports consciousness and elevate them.
Yes.
This was the case with Julio Rodriguez, who did not win but had a heck of a showing in Los Angeles. This was the case with Vlad Jr.
Yeah. Who was more famous coming in, but still, for sure.
This was the case when Pete won, still honestly, Pete, as well.
Absolutely.
And now, Ken Griffey was going to be famous if he had never participated in a single home run derby. But these moments are additions to players' careers. And in the modern day and age, where baseball this time of year has a rare grip on what sports people are watching, people tune in for the home run derby.
Yes.
It is a good opportunity to teach people that are not watching baseball year-round who some of the important players are. Now, that makes it somewhat unfortunate that this showcase does not include the best players like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, et cetera, et cetera. Would I prefer for them to be in it? Yes, of course. We all would. We all want LeBron to do the dunk contest every year. That's not how the world works. That's okay.
I don't know if people still want that, but...
You get my point. But what we got last night was such a wonderful outcome that Cal Raleigh, big dumper, himself, Mariners backstop, the dude who cranked 38 home runs in the first half.
Only Barry Bonds. Only Barry Bonds has hit more in the first half.
Hey, can you just give me a quick list, top two home runs in the first half ever?
So Barry Bonds. What was Barry Bonds known for?
Doing ball? Playing at Arizona State?
Hitting a lot of home runs, right? Among other things.
Among other things.
Cal Raleigh is now becoming that as well, which is incredible because he is a catcher and a switch hitter and a third-round pick and a guy whose nickname is Big Dumper and so many other wonderful things about Cal Raleigh. But back to your first point about, like that opportunity, that platform, that is why we were excited about this field, even though it was disappointing that Ronald Acuna didn't bring his star power to it, that he, you know, backed out late. And you know, Matt Olson, you know, he has a moment. I know he didn't do super well, but, you know, the fans got to have it. But we knew that someone in this field that was doing it for the first time, which was all of them except for Olson, because Olson had done it before, Randy had done it before, someone was going to step up and become way more notable than they were before.
And it was hard to tell. Yeah. And instead, we got three of those.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's start with Junior Caminero, who loses in the finals.
Okay.
You can maybe even say four if you want to add Brent Rooker in there.
Sure. Yeah. I guess because of how this went down, right? Yeah. I don't know how much time we want to spend on this.
Let's do 2 minutes right now.
Let's do that. Okay. So this is another thing that, by the way, was a very different experience in person. So Brent Rooker and Cal Raleigh tie for the fourth most in the first round. And that determines, because it's just the top four between the first round, there's no bracket in the first round, that determined who was going to advance to the semifinals.
The tiebreaker is?
The tiebreaker, which we knew coming into it, was who hit the longest home run. But if you were tracking on StatCast and throughout the broadcast.
I was. I had it up.
They both hit a 471-foot home run. Now, that is what we saw on the Baseball Savant page online.
471. Also weird, their second longest home run, both 469.
Great.
So I thought it was like, oh, what is their second longest home run?
We just keep going. Which, by the way, that would have been a very reasonable way to do it.
Yeah. Just keep going down the furthest.
Which or that would have been Cal Raleigh, I believe.
Longest, who has the higher average
distance.
Home run. That also would have been Cal Raleigh. So I feel a little bit less bad about it. Then it's just like on the broadcast, here are a bunch of freaking numbers that determined that Cal Raleigh's went an inch further than Brent Rooker's.
Which was just preposterous. And then you have like physicists tuning in, like chiming in and being like, this is literally impossible to measure almost anything to this specificity, let alone home runs.
People are like, this is a molecule.
And so like, I still don't really understand what happened. Fortunately, it doesn't really end up mattering because Cal Raleigh goes on to win and it's great. And again, if you did do a much more logical tiebreaker that we just described, Cal Raleigh would have had it. I know Brent Rooker in the moments after kind of gave some salty quotes, and I don't really blame him.
It's $1 million.
It's $1 million on the line. And like, I know he also talked about it. He got two fewer pitches, whatever. I feel for Remberger a little bit. And again, this is an example where you got to take this into consideration, because we are going to keep having home run derbies. And if we're going to keep changing the format, we should improve it every year. And this is a teaching moment. It's a lesson, you know, truly.
Son of
but
an educator.
Thankfully, it is not that important. It was very goofy, and I still don't understand how they were like, yeah put this on TV. This is a normal thing.
Yep.
We're like,
all the numbers. Put all the numbers up there.
Yeah, dude, like 25 past the decimal
should
point.
We do,
that's totally
should we do 13 numbers?
Like how? Who was like, yeah, do that. That's
more.
A good idea. Anyway.
That's Brent Rooker, Junior Caminero. Yes. Let's do O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on, let's do O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz. We both picked him to win the Derby. He did not do that.
No.
But in every other respect, the man delivered.
He did it. He did the thing.
513 feet. We're sitting here in the left field seats at Truist Park, and I'm looking over where he hit that ball, and it's very far away.
Wow. And again, the thing that just blows me away is how hard he was hitting it, which we knew he would be the top, but to supply that much force on a pitch that is not that hard is just amazing. It is an incredible feat of strength. The amount of torque that he's able to do, obviously he's a huge guy, but it's freaky. And he was hitting him so much harder and so much farther than everybody else. So, no, he did not win. No, he did not get to the finals, but O'Neill did his job. Whether we'll see him again, was this a one-time thing? Are they going to let him do it again if he's not an all-star? We know he's talented enough to make an all-star team. Will he ever put it together? Who knows? But I hope that's not the last time we see him in a derby, but it's possible it is.
Junior Caminero also delivered. I would say he was probably the most anonymous player coming into the derby.
I think that's right.
He's really a second-year player.
Youngest player in it. Just turned 22.
He's on the Rays.
So while he was a top prospect, I think it's fair to say he was the least known.
He was a top prospect, but he's also cool as hell.
He is. I mean, this guy...
Effortless.
Yes. But you say effortless, and I thought that he was... That the moment was going to not get too big for him, but I just thought that the moment would bring him almost out of his shoes in a way that it was going to be hard for him to find a rhythm.
And it did a little bit in the first round. Wasn't
it did a little bit.
Finishes?
Yeah, like he was not... Sometimes he's finishing one hand, which he... And this is kind of true in his actual swing, too, but... It was kind of a random back and forth. What really helped Junior Caminero, this is not taking anything away from his performance, but in the semifinals, because he was going up against Buxton did not do great. Caminero only had to hit like 5 or 6 to advance to the finals. 8, okay. But he was able to conserve his energy a lot more, and he had a much bigger break between, which, by the way, this is, as we get to Cal Raleigh, made Cal Raleigh's performance all the more amazing. He had way less rest in between rounds.
But Cal Raleigh Caminero, being used to performing without rest?
There you go. But Junior Caminero, he was awesome. And even at the very end, because he does go last, he put up a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Cal put up a hell of a number in that last round, 18. And I think, I don't know,
Caminero
14,
got 15.
Just ran out of gas. But we mentioned O'Neill. Will he do it again? I think Caminero is a lock to return. And a pretty safe pick to make more all-star teams. I mean, he was here as an all-star anyway. What a talent. So excited to watch him moving forward. And he'll be back. He will come back and try to win. Just like the way Vlad did. And Vlad won. Vlad came back and won. I think Caminero will be the same.
Man of the hour, though.
Big dumper. What a thing.
He told you in 2005 that he's the home run derby champ. Say
the
it.
Wamp.
He's
the
wamp
and the wamp and the champ.
The pamp and the wamp and the champ.
You have
champ.
Not seen this video yet. I'm surprised.
Take off your headphones.
I also am jealous that you get to watch it for the first time. This is a video that Mariners beat writer Daniel Kramer.
How did he get it?
MLB.com. He got it from Todd. I think he had.
And where
somehow,
did Todd get it?
Where did Todd get it, Jake? So let's talk about this. I mean, we're skipping ahead. We'll come back and talk about Caballero's performance. But let's talk about this video because we referenced it, okay? So this video that has now been shared a bajillion times, Daniel Kramer tweeted it out, I think, like a week ago.
Okay. And it was sent to Daniel from Cal's dad.
Okay, great.
But no one asked.
Maybe
Cal's,
Daniel asked,
but it
was not written, okay? So the video, again, if you haven't seen it, is Cal, 8 years old.
He's at a picnic.
At a picnic in his backyard, in a backyard.
Not his backyard.
starts his video, and he's on the pamp, on the wamp, on the home run derby champ. Kyle Raleigh wins the derby. Jake goes down to do some wonderful reporting, as Jake always does. And the Raleighs are on the field, and you – so I wasn't there for this.
No.
So tell me, because I was getting, I don't know if you can see the sprinklers in the background. I was recording a video talking about it and getting sprayed.
Yeah. So
you go down there to find the Raleighs to kind of get some color, tell a story. You find Todd.
Todd, I say, hey.
By the way, Todd, we got Big Todd, Little Todd,
Big
not
Todd.
Little Todd. Sorry. Big Todd,
young Todd,
older Todd, young, enormous Todd Jr. More on him in a second. You talk to all of them, but
yeah,
Todd Sr.,
to
you
Todd.
Ask him about this video.
Yeah,
because you got to ask him.
Todd father, Todd son. I say, Todd, congratulations. Pretty cool. You know, we chatted up for a bit, a little back and forth. I say, hey, that video of your son, where did he get that? Like, what are the specifics of that? He goes, it was a picnic. Cal and his buddy had a travel ball that game.
Yeah.
I believe his name was Justin Clapsaddle.
I think that was Todd's friend.
Todd's friend. Justin Clapsaddle, Clapsaddle. When I listened back to the audio, I was like, his last name is...
Who is it? Whose house?
And I remember typing it out. It was like Clapsaddle. Anyway.
Well, I mean, the transcription service nailed it, I think.
Nailed it. Clapsaddle. Justin Clapsaddle. And anyway, this
then
led us
like,
down a rabbit
then it's
hole.
Like, then it's like, well, then the first thought is like, can't be that many. What are the Clapsaddles up to?
Anyway, one of the Clapsaddles is playing Division III baseball.
Just finished his career. So then we're just diving deep on the Clapsaddles.
Congratulations to Garrett Clapsaddle on a great career at Merchant Marine Academy.
We love that. Shout out Skyline Conference. But here's the thing. Then, as Jake's finishing this wonderful story, which I hope everyone went and read, we're sitting with our lovely editor, Amy, and it's then we're just hot, heated debate. Do we have to mention, should we mention Clapsaddle?
Does his name need to be in the story?
Does and
the
answer
provenance
is no.
Of the video need to be in the story? Yes. And I said, the video, which was sent to Todd from the Clapsaddle family.
You could have just quoted him. You could have just had Todd saying the quote, because he did say Clapsaddle.
Anyway, my demonic, evil editor.
Who's here somewhere. Love you, Amy.
Love you, Amy. Removed the Clapsaddle name from the piece.
Unbelievable.
Unacceptable. And
but,
we bring
but,
this up because I have never laughed
but,
harder.
And
in
the
my
compromise
life
was
that we got to say it on the pod. So here we are.
Back in the Clapsaddle.
Back in the Clapsaddle, baby.
Bringing you
if
the content.
If you,
you
are
didn't
listening and you have Clapsaddle thoughts
or connections,
you know Bryce or Garrett or Justin Clapsaddle, let us know. Email us baseballbarbacast, EARBcast.
All right, anyway, let's get back to Cal Raleigh. You can go read Jake's story. It's great. Cal Raleigh is amazing. He had 38 homers. It's like, as we know, based on that video, like this is a dream of his. So while even some Mariners fans, I go on Seattle radio every week and they're like, oh, should he do it? He's going to ruin his swing. He's got to rest up for the Derby. It's like, dude, who cares? This dude earned it.
He could not hit another home run all year. It'd be a great season.
Yes, correct. And let him go, man. Like, whether he wins, whether he's like, he earned this. And the Mariners understand that. He understands that. And like, and I didn't even really know what to expect. Like, neither of us picked him. We didn't even really consider him that serious when we made our picks. But of course he had a chance to win it. He's at 38 homers the first half. He pulls the ball in the air more than anybody else. We wondered if he was going to hit from both sides. We wondered if he was going to switch plates. He did do it.
Switch plates.
Only in the first round.
Yep.
Hit just a handful right-handed. He did give that to the and that was a moment for sure. The crowd definitely responded to that. But you could tell every time he was up there, he was building. You could tell the way that they responded to him tonight. Like, this whole season, I mean, this has been true for the last few years, but this whole season has been building just profile. Every time, he's just more and more and more.
Name helps.
And it's
helps.
And the nickname helps. They're announcing him as Big Dumper. They're talking about his butt nonstop. Pat McAfee's saying he's got the fattest ass, and we're all just like, yeah, of course.
Yes.
But also, like, we say of course because we've been hearing it for years. Shout out Jared Kelnick for, you know, giving us that nickname. But again, like...
So, like, we're here, and our producer and our camera guy here, not if you had heard the nickname Big Dumper before today. Had you heard the nickname?
No. No. And again, plenty of people here are like, fine. Who? What did he just say about his ass?
Did he just call that guy the big dumper and say he had the fattest like the ass
little,
in America?
Let alone the people watching on TV. Like the, good. It is still constantly elevating. But this really is a moment. And wow. Again, to be that consistent, to hit 17 in the first round, 19 in the second, 18 in the third, had the stroke. He was hitting them onto the roof. These were not, you know, wall scrapers.
These were not Bregman, Mookie Betts home runs.
No. He was hitting them out to say, I mean, it was incredible. And it's like, duh.
Yeah.
he's one of the greatest home run hitters. Now, at this point, I guess, of this generation, it seems a little extreme to say. Already one of the greatest home run hitting catchers of all time. That's a fact. Indisputable. Yes. And who knows? I mean, at this point, like, why am I to doubt that he's going to hit 60 home runs or 70 home runs or whatever? So, I don't know, man. It's so cool. The Mariners are so lucky to have him. And he's a big reason why they are in position to make a postseason.
First catcher to ever win the Derby.
Yep.
Very impressive.
I think first switch hitter. Or I think there was a switch hitter that tied, but yeah.
Third player ever to win with their dad pitching.
Oh, love that.
Jose Cano, Robinson Cano,
yep.
Bryce Harper, and Big Ron Harper.
Yep.
The familial aspect of it was really cool.
Yeah.
To have his brother catching, to have his dad throwing, to have his whole family here. In my story, I wrote about how Cal had kind of custom messages written into jerseys that he left on the bed for all of his family members. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah,
really,
awesome.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah, and man, Todd Jr. Cal Raleigh's a big guy.
Big guy, Cal Raleigh. It's in the name.
And Todd is 2 inches taller? And I mean, he probably doesn't weigh as much, but he's a built. I mean,
it's Matt Wieters.
Yeah, he looks like Matt Wieters, but he's 15.
Also a switch hitter.
Is he also a switch hitter?
Yeah, Todd told me that when we were talking about the clap saddles.
There you go. So again, class of 2028. Does he end up, you know, committing to Florida State? Probably. How good is he really? You don't really know at 15. But
what is his
now,
nickname? The Junior Caboose?
I don't know, but he's gonna be even bigger. So,
but he might be bigger.
We don't. Yeah. Anyway.
Just saying.
No, we'll see. Anyway. So just awesome.
Good Derby.
What a thing. So cool. And and Cal Raleigh will be, and then he comes back, you know, catches 5 innings tonight, and he'll be right back behind the plate on Friday as the Mariners take on the Astros and try to chase him down in the AL West.
That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Bunch of other little nuggets from All-Star Week.
Yeah, Manfred spoke today. We'll get to that some other time.
We'll talk about that later in the week. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Jordan Schusterman. This is our ninth.
Yeah.
This is our ninth All-Star game together.
Yep.
Feel so blessed and grateful to be able to do this. We genuinely hope that you enjoy what we do. We enjoy what we do. For those of you who came up to us while we were here in Atlanta,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Just happened before. Shouts out Kyle.
Thank you to our producers back home.
Yes.
DJ Brasil.
Yes. Andrew Hartz. We got Dan and Ish here. Been killing it on the cameras. Thank you to our editors here. Video producers, everything. Yahoo's been awesome. And we are so excited to have delivered a second All-Star game here with Yahoo.
Next year, Kyle Schwarber taking that All-Star MVP trophy back to Philadelphia, where he maybe we'll play for the Phillies next year. Who knows? He's a free agent. The 2026 All-Star Game will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in honor of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. Feels a little bit arbitrary to me, but if you like...
Jake's not complaining we're going back to Philly.
I am not complaining we're going back to Philly. Close to where I'm going to be living. Food's good.
Yeah.
You know, look, hey, they like me more in Philly than they like me in Atlanta.
Just a little bit, but... Will we get a swing off again? Who knows? I love the idea of like the managers trying to like finesse their way into a Derby.
Let's go to bed.
Whatever. Let's appreciate what we saw. Email us baseballbarbecast@gmail.com. If you like the show, tell a friend, rate, review wherever you listen to your podcast. We appreciate it. Tell an enemy. Maybe they'll like it too. But thank you to everyone who we talked to in Atlanta. Thank you to everyone involved in making this show possible. And we will be back on Friday to preview the second half. Last 40% of the season. We will talk to you later this week.